the war in Iraq is over, both realistically and officially, but that doesn't mean that the things that happened in Iraq aren't going to change the way that we live our lives here in the United States. One of the ways in which we may be seeing changes is in our hospitals because of what they learned while treating patients, both soldiers and Iraqis, on the front lines in Iraq. And joining us today is somebody who was on the front lines. Dr. Todd Baker was chief of Baghdad ER from November 2007 through January 2009. He earned the Bronze Star and a combat action badge for his work there. He's now co-medical director of the emergency department at Skaggs Regional Medical Center in Branson, Missouri. And he's written about his experiences in Iraq in a new memoir called Baghdad ER 15 Minutes. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, you know, I was curious as to why you specifically wanted to work in ER rather than the OR. Why did you want to be the very first one dealing with triage and diagnosis?
Well, it's actually quite simple. My big thought coming out of medical school was I wanted to be able to handle anything that came in that I could see. Now, that doesn't mean I can fix everything, but I know what to do or who to call to get it fixed. And my thought was, if I'm going to do all this education and everything else, I want to be comfortable with whatever I'll see. And that's kind of what led me to emergency medicine.
I mean, obviously, in hospitals, there's especially under stressful situations, which I can only assume that it's even more stressful when you're working in Iraq than you are in an American hospital. There's sometimes conflicts between, say, an OR surgeon who comes out to help in the ER. How do you deal with the conflicts, the problems between personnel when you're under incredible pressure?
Well, to be honest with you, a lot of times it depends on the system you're in. And like you say, it's personalities.
Yeah.
And the most important thing on both individuals' mind is to take care of the patient. And, you know, kind of a lot of people, everyone thinks they know the best way to do it.
Yeah.
But realistically, especially after we had been there for a while and we'd been doing it for several months and all day, every day trauma, we knew our teams. We really gelled well with the surgeons as they would come in, and they would kind of stand back, let us do our initial things. They would pitch in and help with major procedures to help resuscitate that soldier or that wounded civilian, and then they would take over and go and do the rest of the job in the operating room.
You know, I mean, there's shortages. You had to have had shortages. We have shortages of products and medicines here in the United States, so certainly you must have had them there. And I wonder if you guys had to come up with some kind of creative... I mean, did you have MacGyver moments where you had to come up with a creative way?
There's always a few things, of course, but I've got to be honest with you. When we arrived in November of 2007, we stepped foot into... Building-wise, it was a 1960s-era building, but the system that we fell into... was unlike anything that I had ever seen and our team had ever seen. The speed with which they were able to do things and that the guys we had replaced, that they taught us over those few days that we overlapped, to be able to get things done, to get these procedures done, to save these lives within 15 minutes was incredible. And we had never seen anything like that. And that's surgeons working with the ER team and everyone working together to save that life. And so, sure, there was, you know, sometimes you needed this and you needed that and you had to compromise. But to be honest with you, everything we needed was right there.
We're speaking with Dr. Todd Baker. He was chief of Baghdad ER during the surge from 2007 to 2009. He's written a new memoir called Baghdad ER, 15 Minutes. 15 minutes referring, in the United States, we call it the golden hour that you have to really save a patient's life when they first come in and they have a traumatic injury. And in your book, you argue that because of blood loss especially, that was reduced down to 15 minutes. Did you have a problem sometimes where you had to decide triage based on how much blood product you had? I mean, did you have to choose between patients?
Well, we were very fortunate. We actually usually had plenty of blood to go around. One time we did run out of blood and had to do some MacGyver moments, kind of as you mentioned. But for the most part, we had enough blood to go around. The big way we triaged wasn't as much blood product, but was just more, okay, as these 20 patients come in, who can we save and who can we not save? And who has minor injuries that can even go to the clinic?
That's a really tough... arithmetic, though.
It is, but that's what we're trained to do, and that's what we did.
Can I ask you, I mean, when you look back at previous wars, when you look back at, say, even as far back as World War II, but even going back to Vietnam and Korea, a lot of times these veterans come back and years later come out with their memoirs, their memories of what happened. Why do we see so many Iraq vets and Afghanistan vets writing immediately when they get home? Why are we getting so many books about these wars so quickly?
Well, a couple of thoughts. I think especially going all the way back to the World War II generation, And I guess Vietnam as well, Korea, a lot of the thought process is you don't talk about it, it happened over there, and that's the end of the story. And, you know, people don't want to know. I can't fathom what it would be like to be a Vietnam veteran and with some of the things that happened as they came home and not really being able to tell their story. For some people, that helps, and other people, it's not good to tell your story. But for those of us who like to share the experiences and say, hey, everybody, look at what our soldiers did. Look at what our Marines and airmen and sailors did over there that you don't hear on the radio and you don't see on television. The heroic acts, I mean, straight out of Hollywood, that we would see is these guys would bring their buddies in pieces. And you know, they're barely hanging on to life, and we're going as fast as we can to save them. And you know, sometimes we were not successful, but the majority of the time we were.
And yet, you know, my husband is in medicine, in the ER, in the OR, and he says some of those Vietnam-era surgeons are some of the best in the country. And I wonder if that's true. I mean, what do you learn on the front lines in those incredibly stressful situations that actually makes you a better surgeon, perhaps, when you get back into a regular hospital?
Well, I think it's experience. You know, the injuries that we would see over there, and as me as an emergency physician, just doing the procedures, the major procedures we would do, and seeing these blast injuries. You know, we see gunshot wounds and stab wounds here in the U.S. You know, it's mostly blunt trauma that we do from car wrecks and falls. But we don't see amputations and blast injuries and rocket injuries. And so you take a surgeon, for example, that has trained and has learned how to do all of these things, from gunshot wounds and stab wounds and everything else, and then send them to Iraq, and now they're taking care of people with three amputated limbs that are literally within seconds away from death. It's a whole different level.
So you were in, again, we're speaking with Dr. Todd Baker, chief of Baghdad ER, during the surge years, 2007 to 2009. You're now at the Skaggs Regional Medical Center in Branson, Missouri. As you said, you're not dealing with IED injuries anymore, and you probably are not dealing with the numbers of patients either. What else has changed about your job?
Well, my job now is it's a lot more medical side than trauma side for what
right.
we see, of course, just normal emergency medicine in the United States. And we see everyone, of course, and I enjoy doing that, taking care of ear infections as much as someone having a heart attack or a car wreck.
But do you miss?
I miss the family of the team that we had. You know, there were 31 of us and down to 18-year-old medics, and the things that those 18-year-old medics did every day. You know, I was 34, 35 years old. Sure, it was a new experience to me and trauma unlike anything I'd ever seen, but I still had some background. Could you imagine coming out of high school,
no.
getting, you know, a few months of education, and here you go. Here's an American soldier with half a leg and everybody else is tied up in the other room. Good luck to you.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine it at
I can't either.
But you can read about it in Dr. Baker's new memoir. It's called Baghdad ER, 15 Minutes. He was chief of Baghdad ER from November 2007 through January 2009, earned a Bronze Star for his work there, and now works at the emergency department at Skaggs Regional Medical Center in Branson, Missouri. Dr. Baker, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.